This is Dana Fuchs. Thank you for being a member of 97.7 EXT.
Crying in the night, setting all your sights on being gone. Were the voices in your mind worth leaving you behind, never moving on? You had to risk it all, so far left to fall. You ain't the only one. Didn't want to know how far you had to go, all you were sitting on. I guess I missed the warning, that train was on the track. Got up too late that morning, see you never come back. And we never saw each other change. I never saw you till you turned away and left me holding everything we made, everything we were sitting on. Guess I never would have known you felt so damn alone till you were gone. And I never could have dreamed you'd leave it up to me to carry on. Did I have to lose it all? I got nowhere to fall. Now I'm the only one who never gets to know how far we had to go, all we were sitting on. I guess I missed the warning, that train was on the track. Got up too late that morning, see you never come back. And we never saw each other change. I never saw you till you turned away and left me holding everything we made, everything we were sitting on. So long, my love, you weren't meant to be. Gone, gone, love wasn't meant for me. Oh, no, no. On the track, I got up too late that morning to see you never come back. And we never saw each other change. I never saw you till you turned away and left me holding everything we made, everything we were sitting on. Sitting on everything we were sitting on, everything we were sitting on. So long, love, you weren't meant for me. You're gone, gone, love wasn't meant to be. No. So long, baby, now you're gone, gone. Love that never meant to be with me. Oh, no, oh, no. So long, love, you were a misbehave.
Take it off. 97.7 EXT. We're live at EXT with an incredibly powerful, soulful singer, songwriter, and new mom, Dana Fuchs. How are you, Dana?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. And you're here with John Diamond on guitar and harmonica. John, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
So, Dana, how old is your son now? 20 months?
20 months. Oh, and growing.
He's walking, and has he started to say some things?
Oh, my God. He is such a talker. He's almost got half sentences going, yeah.
Well, I love that first song you just played for us, Sittin' On, from the brand new album, Love Lives On. What a great song. What can you tell us about that one?
Thank you. Sittin' On, wow, I've never really talked about the story of this. It's emotional. It's just two people who, you know, have this relationship and they're not seeing, you know, the real gift. It's based on a parable of, you know, the treasure that we're always sitting on in our own heart, our own lives, and having that gratitude and going a little deeper inside and going, well, I have all the wealth I need right inside if I just tap into it.
A lot of your songs are deeply personal.
Yeah.
They've always been. So you put out, I think, 7 albums, a lot of live albums, 4 studio albums. I believe Love Lives On is your 4th album, but throughout them all, you have a lot of deeply personal lyrics in every album.
Yes, I do. You know, life has given me some good lessons. You know, this latest album, Love Lives On, was really inspired after the loss of my mom. And the title track is about her. I can't sing it really much yet live. But it's also finding out I was pregnant as I was saying goodbye to my mom, and then looking and thinking, no, this is the worst timing ever to have a baby. I had already tried. It didn't work. I had moved on. Now I've lost all this family and a baby's coming, not now. And then it turned out to be the biggest gift in the world. So that's really the theme underlying this whole album. It's really about all of the loss, but then the love that lives on, not only just my child, but with the memories of those we lose.
Mm. Another blessing, this album, though, was fan-funded. This is your first crowdfunding campaign through Pledge Music. You recorded this album in Memphis and your first original full-length under your new record label, Get Along Records. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, that's got to be exciting in and of itself.
Yeah, you know, my contract was up with my label of many years in the last few albums, Riff Records. And, you know, I'm sure he wasn't necessarily ready to jump right into another contract. I hear I was off the road having, you know, been with the family losses and then having a baby. And I wasn't sure what the future held. And then John suggested, why don't we just try to do a pledge campaign, and he did some research, and we spent time putting this pledge campaign together, and I was pretty floored by how people just rallied, and we met our goal and then some. So then I was like, oh, then what do we do now? So we made this record, and then we shopped it around to my former label who really wanted it, and some other labels in that world who really wanted it. And I thought, well, you know, I've done that already. I want to see what would happen if I kind of pull the strings here and control things. So I partnered up with a guy who's been a longtime fan, he and his wife. And he actually wrote me one day and said, what do you need to shut this pledge campaign down? You're embarrassing yourself. You know, he was joking, kind of. And I said, do you want to get in the record business? He's like, make me a business plan. So he put me through the paces for almost a year and really made me learn what I needed to do. I mean, I knew a lot already. John and I both knew a lot already. But then we got with the right people, understood the ins and outs of running a label. And It's been amazing. It's been amazing to really see the fruits of your labor firsthand and know exactly what's happening, what still needs to happen, what you got to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. And John's been with you since the beginning, right? Going back, what, 18, 20 years now? He's been your guitarist and songwriting partner in crime for all these years, huh?
Yeah.
How did you start to collaborate with Dana, John?
I met Dana. I was actually in a house band, and she came in to sit in with this band. This guy Moose was a great singer, and she heard it from the street and came in, and we just met there, and you know she sang Stormy Monday, and you know she had a set of pipes, but she didn't really know she didn't have it refined for the blues at that time. I mean, this is a story she tells all the time. It's funny for me to tell it, but basically she said, "Yeah, I want to sing the blues," and I said, "Well, cool, you got a great voice. You know who you're listening to?" And she said, "Well, I'm listening to Zeppelin, the Stones, and stuff I love." But I said, "Well, if you want to sing the blues, you got to listen to the stuff that those guys listen to."
Right.
And so I turned her on to Etta James was a big one. Mm-hmm. Bobby Bland. Those were the big ones, right?
Etta, Bobby. You know, and then, of course, I knew, of course, of Otis Redding, but it was John who showed me Otis live at Monterey. He had this he played this video of Otis doing I've Been Loving You Too Long. And that's where I really just went, oh my God, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And there that's was, what I have to do.
And there was a real blues kind of rhythm and blues scene revival in New York at that time, and a lot of a really fruitful club scene. So Dana could go out, and I was playing with various amazing singers, Frankie Parrish, Jerry Duggar, and see them in a club for 4 hours. You could really, it was like a schooling for me too. That's where I learned to play.
I would joke and say I was going to school to John's gigs, and I would sit with napkins writing notes and
really?
Listening night after night after night.
Yeah.
And then these bands he was playing with, he started telling them, you know, she's learning, she's trying to do this, and they would let me start sitting in. And that led to one club taking a chance on me, and we got such a great response that then all the clubs started booking us. And we were doing, I would say, more soulful, obscure soul rock stuff, some blues. We never really did straight ahead blues. But, you know, these blues rooms, it's all rock, it's all soul, it's all the same thing. They started booking us, and you had a built-in audience, but then it was time for us to write our own songs, because these weren't our stories, and that's where the rock and roll side came in a little more.
Hmm. But then this record is like we've gone back to full circle to we were doing Ann Peebles and Billy Preston.
And Al Green.
And all the soul stuff.
Otis.
Yeah, you guys met in New York City, was that right? Now, Dana, you grew up in Wildwood, Florida, and you sang in a church gospel choir. Is that really where you got your first cutting your teeth of performing in public?
Actually, the first time I got up on stage, my oldest brother and sister had a band, and they were playing this local Holiday Inn, and I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and my parents were going to see them, and they dragged me along, and they let me get up and sing a song, a Whitney Houston song. And it was the response of the crowd that I was like, okay, I'm addicted.
That was it right there, huh?
That was it. And then the gospel thing was a very short stint because my dad, we were raised Catholic, and he didn't want us, the Catholic Church was really too far away. We were the only Catholics we knew in the whole area. So I just started going on my own to this Baptist church, and there was a lot of racism in our small town, and it was predominantly a black town. So, you know, my first grade teacher, friends, all black, and they would take me to these churches with them, and then that's where I was like, oh my God, and this big woman, she knew I wanted to sing, and I was all excited, and I was like, I want to be saved, and she said, and I was getting a little shy to sing, and she said, girl, you gotta let mama music take over your soul, and that was like where I felt like I got permission to just belt it out. But I didn't know yet the blues soul stuff that I learned through John later on.
Gotcha. And after you moved to New York City, it was sometime after that, though, that, you know, your voice draws comparisons to Janis Joplin. But sometime after moving to New York City, you starred in the off-Broadway musical Love, Janis that ran from 2001 to 2003.
Yes.
That must have been really something and opened up yourself to a whole new audience, and an audience that drew themselves into your music.
Absolutely. It was such an incredible experience, and on every level. And the first thing that really hit me was, you know, I didn't grow up on Janis's music, really. And I had been compared to her and realized after doing the show that it was because we were both influenced by the same artist. But when I had to learn 20 Joplin songs and I had a week to do it, and I would just live, eat, and breathe Janis all day, all night with my headphones on. I could not believe what the singer she was. I had never heard, especially in headphones, you hear every nuance. And I was blown away, and playing her on stage really was the final step for me to lose my own inhibitions when I did my own show. Because when you stepped into Janis Joplin's shoes, you better not be, you know, trying to look cool on stage or inhibited in any way. She let it all hang out. And so playing that role, I was like, well, I should just be the same way on my show. Just let it all hang out. Stop trying to be cool and look at me and trying to be perfect. Screw it, you know, just go for it.
What was the hardest thing in trying to learn and prepare for that role?
The fact that I had, like, it was exactly 8 days, and it was 52 pages of dialogue and 20 songs. And they said, if you need to use a script, and I'm so against charts on stage, scripts on stage, lyrics, I think you got to learn it, and you got to get up there and do it. So that was really challenging. And then, of course, the intimidation of playing this incredible singer. I mean, I was both terrified and beyond excited. And that opening night, I was like, oh my God, please let me just pull this off, because people are coming to see Janis, not Dana. And I felt really out of my league.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't just playing her, you were channeling her.
You
did it justice?
You know, the director made a really great point. He told us, don't go watching Janis perform live. I don't want any Janis mimics. Get inside the music. Mm-hmm. And that was the best advice I could have gotten, because it was really all about the music and all about the expression. Some of the songs I was singing in a lower key, I have a deeper voice than Janis. If you put our voices back to back, the timbre is so different. Mm-hmm. But it was the expression and the passion behind it and really getting inside that I think made the comparison to Janis in the first place, and then made it much easier to play her without trying to mimic her.
So you're learning yourself, your own, getting in your own skin as when you met John. Well, it started off at that church choir, and she's telling you, just let the music take over, let mama take over. Then meeting John, and John giving you a little bit more direction, and then playing Janis. You're honing in on you and your voice and your craft, right? All this time, it's just leading up to being bigger and better performer and singer, right?
Wow, that is so well put together, and I never realized how succinct that thread is, but absolutely. You know, I remember John would say to me, you just got to find your own style. What's your style? And that truth comes out in your voice and your performance when you just surrender to the music and be in it. Not, again, not about how am I looking? How am I sounding? What are people thinking? You got to let that go, and then you're really able to channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you expand on this, the personal meaning to Love Lives On? I think you did a little bit earlier, how that philosophy captures the entire album.
You know, it's two things. In fact, the name of the label being Get Along, John was like, we were brainstorming. He's like, think of something you always say on stage. And I'm like, I always say, can we all just effing get along? And that's how the label came about. And Love Lives On, you know, the lyrics to that song actually started as I was sitting next to my mom. I spent the last 11 days at her bedside. One day she was coming home. No, then it looked like she took a turn for the worse. And it was this incredibly emotional roller coaster. And the last few days when I saw her really getting tired and sleeping much more, I started writing the words. While you're here, can you tell me all the, can I tell you all the things I should have said and ask you all the questions? I'm having this baby, you know. So it started as that. And I didn't finish it until right before we were going to Memphis. And then as I finished the song, I realized Love Lived On through, of course, my memories and my cherishing of my mom, but then this child that I'm having that she named 4 days before she died.
Wow.
And then ultimately the message I've been sharing on stage for years, whenever I've had a personal tragedy or loss, we've all had those, most of us. I mean, you know, maybe some of the younger audience members haven't yet, but it's really meant to be a very universal theme. Like, love lives on if we let it. You know, I have a friend in Holland. She always says, you can go bitter or you can go better. You know, and I love that. So that's really the underlying theme. The album was originally going to be called Ready to Rise, which felt more like, okay, I'm coming back after time off from all the loss and having a baby. I'm ready to rise up and do this. But then when we finished recording Love Lives On, I think it was John who said, this should be the name of the album. And I was ding, ding, absolutely. There was no question.
Yeah, yeah. What's the name of your son?
Aiden.
Aiden. Do you think this is your most personal album to date?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Dana Fuchs is our guest on Live at EXT. DanaFuchs.com is the website. Love Lives On is the brand new album. You're going to go off the rails just a little bit here on this next song. You want to tell us what you want to play here for us?
Ring of Fire. Obviously, people will recognize it's a Johnny Cash song. But, you know, it was shortly after my dad died, and I was out there touring and wanted to pay homage to him. And he was one of the big musical providers in our home, and he was a big Johnny Cash fan. And when you look at the words on paper, again, John was like, strip this down, check it out, it can be gospel. And I heard it, and I was like, whoa. And I always wanted to do a Johnny Cash song, and, you know, to not do it Johnny Cash style, and to have the words on the page read as such a love tribute. We started doing it that way live, and then I was like, this has to go on the album, which is one of the reasons we went to Memphis, because it's all roads started to lead to Memphis in this way.
Love it. Dana Fuchs with guitarist John Diamond right here, Ring of Fire, 97.7 EXT.
Fiery rain, fell in to a ring of fire. When two hearts like ours meet, I fell for you like a child. But oh, the child went wild, and I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Nutty 77 EXT. We're live at EXT with Dana Fuchs in our studio with John Diamond on guitar and harmonica and a killer slowed down gospelized version of the Johnny Cash classic Ring of Fire. I love it.
Thank
wow.
you.
Never heard it played like that before.
That's cool.
And I love Johnny Cash. And a lot of people have covered that song, but not like that.
Oh, great. That's good to know. I mean, I never heard a version like that of it.
Yeah, that works. Love Lives On is the brand new album. Now, Dana, what is the most uplifting part about playing music? What keeps you going back to the stage and making that performance every single night?
Euphoric recall. Forgetting about the travel part. No. You know, it's really that shared experience, I think, with an audience and the band. For me, if, you know, I'm known for really... maybe to a fault, letting the audience in, not making a set list. What do you guys want to hear? What are we doing tonight? We got to just take this 2-hour break from life, celebrate life together. And when it turned into that years ago for me, you know, that's really the thing that's kept me going.
Love Lives On is the brand new album from our guest Dana Fuchs, out now on her newly minted recording label, Get Along Records. You can keep up with Dana at her website, danafuchs.com. Dana, John, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
What do you want to take us out with here?
I think we'll go out with a nice upbeat rocker. It's the tune that opens the whole album. It's called Backstreet Baby. go. You gotta stay there. I'm a stomp.
She was standing on a back street. She was feeling up her knees. She was wanted in four counties. Only days since she'd been free. Living for no reason. She got nothing left to live. Left her baby back home crying. Her hunger was too deep. She gave up even trying to sing her back to sleep. Crying for a reason was all that she could do. Nothing to believe in. Easier to chew. So she said, meet me down on the back street, baby. My hands are dirty, my tongue is tied. I'll give you love like a back street lady. Share my shame in broad
Dana Fuchs. This is listener-supported 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit97.7.org.